Nice to have your company, Jack Heveron, for another 20 minutes, and then we hand it over to the rest of the afternoon here on SEN Drive, not too far away as well with KB and the Doc. Front page of The Age this morning, our man Sam McClure with the story. Covert AFL mission to tech giants. Some of the AFL's heavy hitters, Gillon McLachlan, headed over there with a number of his executives, including Travis Ohl, the league's fixture boss, and the head of strategy, Walter Lee. They are off to the States, and they are going to try and learn more about the way that sport can be broadcast and can be viewed, because it's happening in a number of different mechanisms and different means around the world currently. Jono Simpson spent an enormous amount of time at Twitter, basically built that thing here in this country, is now with the Players Tribune, and to be blunt, the man is an absolute genius, and he's been good enough to jump on the line and have a chat to me here on Afternoons. Jono, great to catch up, mate.
Jack, good to be speaking to you again.
This is something that's a new foray in many ways for us, but something that's been going on for quite some time overseas, isn't it?
It has. I mean, we see the big tech companies getting into live sport because that's where you want to be. You know, there's a big audience there. They're ravenous for that type of content and they're attractive to advertisers. So I think it's a good move from the AFL to be moving into this space. And I'm sure they've had conversations before, and I'm sure this is not a new space for them in terms of talking to these organisations. But they want to be making sure that they're ahead of the game, that's for sure.
At the moment, from a world sporting perspective, which code is leading the way? Who are the ones that are the trendsetters with this?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether there's kind of a code who's necessarily leading the way. It feels like it's being driven by the tech companies. So the likes of Amazon are streaming NFL Thursday night games live into the US. They're also streaming all the ATP tournaments this year into the UK, as well as some Premier League games. So Amazon are pushing hard into this space. The likes of Twitter, they've done an interesting thing where rather than live stream the entire game, they've moved into a space where fans can actually vote for a player, and then the last quarter or some of the action of the game can actually then be isolated on that player.
Wow.
And that person's live stream. So it's kind of a little bit of a difference there in terms of just live streaming the entire thing. And then we're seeing YouTube and Facebook in this space as well. The La Liga, the Spanish soccer, is live streamed into the subcontinent on Facebook. YouTube are doing a lot with syndication. So YouTube TV in the US syndicates the likes of Fox Sports and NBC. So it's really just another platform to watch the game rather than exclusive rights. And then, you know, personally, I was involved with Twitter, and we live streamed Melbourne Cup on Twitter.
Yes.
So you can see the horse racing there. It wasn't exclusive. It was a deal with Channel 7 as well. So we're starting to see a little bit of this around the world happening. And we haven't seen someone take all the rights for all the games exclusively, and I don't think that will happen in this instance, but definitely an avenue for everyone to be starting to think about.
What are the benefits of it? Speak from a Twitter point of view, where you were previously. Why were Twitter so keen to sort of jump in and get involved in this?
I think you just want quality content on your platform, and that's what drives the eyeballs and drives the traffic and also drives conversation. So, you know, when we signed the deal with the VRC and Channel 7 to stream the Melbourne Cup, we just wanted to be a platform where we could then start getting new audiences to come and consume content on our platform so you could stream the Melbourne Cup. And on the flip side, the VRC and Channel 7, they just want a new audience. They want a younger audience. Yeah. They want an audience on the go who may not be able to be sitting in front of a television to stream it on traditional media. So it's a win-win for both parties, where you get a new audience for the broadcaster, but we also want a new audience or a larger audience for the social platforms where they're driving more traffic to their platforms.
What's the broadcast quality like, John? I've been involved in a couple of different sports and I've seen it evolve with Facebook Live streaming, and it's gone from being, to be honest, a bit grainy and just okay to now being of brilliant quality, equal or even better to broadcast quality. I'd imagine that side of things is only continuing to evolve as well.
It is, and it's important, right? We know how important sport is to make sure that you've got the highest resolution possible on any screen. And I think we've certainly seen the technology move in a place where it is actually equal to what can happen on a screen, on a large TV screen, but then it ultimately comes down to internet speed. And that's going to be one of the challenges in this market is, you know, can we have the capacity. I know Telstra are bringing out 5G this year, so I think that will certainly help. Can we really bring in like the likes of 4K live streaming on a platform that's going to be reliable in real time? There are some tricky things to solve there, but technology is definitely going to be able to solve them quickly.
The AFL broadcast deal is in place for a couple more years to come. 2022, it expires. So do you think the AFL, this fact-finding mission, is it just, do you feel, a fact-finding mission, or do you think by the time we come around to negotiate for 2022 and beyond, we could be ready for something like this?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of both. I think they're definitely going over as fact-finding to learn what's happening both in Europe and the US in terms of what the tech companies have achieved, what they want to achieve, what their strategy is for sport and what the monetization opportunities are. So I think there's definitely a bit of that. But I also think that it's a serious discussion to be had for the next rights deal. And you've got to get the conversation going now so that they can figure out exactly what the mix is going to be. And that's what it's going to come down to. It's not going to be purely a digital-only broadcast rights deal. It's not going to be TV-only. They need to find that balance because the traditional audience will always be on TV for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years at the very least. So they need to supplement that. And if you look at what they've done previously, you look at what Telstra have done, like we're in a very good position here where Telstra own the digital rights and you can watch every single game on your mobile phone.
Yep.
Like we're in a good position here. It's just figuring out how can we then move that beyond the AFL Live app. Maybe it becomes an OTT product. What happens with the social media platforms as well? And does it have to be just the purely here's the live stream of the game? I think the opportunity is to start thinking about kind of the shoulder programming or unique content that sits alongside the match day game. So that really is kind of a multiple screen experience for fans at home.
So is that the big opportunity perhaps for clubs, as you mentioned, some interactive ways before that others are doing it, even from a league or another broadcaster perspective, to kind of throw it open a little bit and do some things that are different because it's not the traditional TV platform?
I think so. And I think if ultimately you want to reach the biggest audience you possibly can and have an audience that is attractive to advertisers, and that's where the revenue is going to come from. And so we see clubs starting to think, and it's been really great this year. Look, the likes of the Adelaide Crows, you know, they've really been thinking about match day content differently. So if you're really interested in this space, you should check out their Instagram stories on match day. They don't do what is normally expected. They're actually starting to think about what can we do that's unique, that's different? How can we build a new audience? And then ultimately, next year, the year after, how can we then monetize that audience? And I think that's the key for this space, is to get a bit of a balance between, yep, here's the traditional linear broadcast, and we can put that on any of your screens, but what value can we add that we have that no one else does? So what does the club have that no one else has? Could it be access to players or coaches or whatever, the inner sanctum of the change rooms? They've got that no one else does. You know, what does the broadcaster have access to that no one else does? And leverage that, commercialise that, I think, is the future of these deals.
Would this concern Channel 7 and Fox Sports? I'm talking purely from a football sense, that the same could apply to Channel 9 with the NRL and Super Netball, whatever sport you choose. Would it concern the mainstream broadcasters that these conversations are going on?
I don't think so. I think at this stage, it's the majority of the dollars and the revenue is going to come through the traditional TV audience. But if I was running a TV station and being part of these negotiations, I'd be pushing hard to get more of the digital rights. So part of the rights for Channel 9, Channel 7, whoever it may well be, is, yep, we want the traditional TV rights and we'll monetize those in the way we have previously. But we would also like some of the digital rights as well. So you look at someone like Foxtel and Fox Sports who have brought out KO, that's what they're starting to think about. They're kind of going, okay, our audience can watch it on Foxtel, but why don't we provide an opportunity for them to watch it on another platform if that's where they are? So I think the TV companies who are smart in this space won't necessarily see it as a risk. They'll see it as an opportunity. And I think the ones who do that and take that will then be able to make additional incremental revenue through a digital channel.
Lastly, are we miles behind the rest of the world here, or are we not too far away?
I think it's a bit of a misconception in this country that we are behind. Like, everything I've seen is we're up at the same pace. Maybe kind of the audience size here, the market size, limits some of the creativity and the technology advancements in this country. But if you break that down, the actual digital revenue yield per person in this country is really high. Yeah. And that's why it's an attractive market to the likes of Google and Facebook and Twitter, is because while it's not a huge market, the yield, the advertising yield per person is actually really high. Plus, it's a great opportunity to test and learn. So Australia is slightly off Broadway, so they can learn and test and understand their products, put it into an audience that's similar to Europe or similar to the US, and learn about it so they can then take it to that market as well. So I think, yeah, we're not too far behind. In some places, we're leading in this space. So I don't think we should worry too much about being kind of a backwater. Those days are way beyond us.
Jono, as thorough as always, I very much appreciate your time. Thanks for joining me.
Appreciate it again. Thanks, Jack.
Jono Simpson joining me now with the Players Tribune, previously with Twitter. Just an absolute brain when it comes to this sort of stuff, and maybe a bit of a watch this space for what it looks like in the next few years. We're going to come back and wrap things up after this on Afternoons.